The Pat Kenny Show
with Timber Living Log Cabins.
Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
We are four games into the expanded World Cup with the first results already, I think, offering a glimpse into what promises to be a fascinating six-week tournament across the US, Mexico and Canada. But while the football has finally begun, debate continues over empty stadiums, soaring ticket prices, the tournament's unprecedented scale and the influence of FIFA President Gianni Infantino and the US President Donald Trump on the event's direction. I'm delighted to say that Miguel Delaney, chief football writer with The Independent, joins me now on the line. And Miguel, you have been writing about this recently and you said that the tournament is just too big to get a feel for. What do you think now? Has the football finally taken over?
Well, I wouldn't say it's necessarily not to get a feel for it. It's more, I suppose, the size of it just dilutes what the World Cup used to be. And even on basic terms, I mean, like, look, a classic of when you were a child, and to be honest, even into adulthood, you very quickly internalize who's in what group. You can kind of reel them off in an instant. This one is almost too big for that. And I suppose for a lot of people, there's almost this experience of you don't necessarily know who's playing on a given day because there's so many games. And so I almost think Saturday is the kind of real start of this World Cup because there are four games. It's wall-to-wall football. Brazil play their first match. Scotland play a lot, but that'll be by Sunday morning by the end. And I suppose from that, it's a different experience. But to a degree, like I did write this in my preview, to be fair, the World Cup is still the World Cup. And once the football takes off, people are drawn into storylines. You can't get captivated by it. On the other side of that, FIFA obviously makes a calculation that once the football starts, all the pre-game issues go away. I don't necessarily think that's the case, though. A, because I suppose they've written that there's so many politics swirling around this, not least how the Democrats almost see FIFA as a fragile or a vulnerable point for Donald Trump because of the proximity, but also because some of these issues have continued right in. I mean, there were at the Korea Czech Republic game, which I suppose had a bit of an interest for Ireland, given the Czechs that knocked us out of the qualifiers, there were swathes of empty seats, and this after so much controversy over ticket prices. And then you've got this new controversy, which speaks to a lot of the issues around this World Cup and just how much of it has been about, you know, revenue and just how greedy FIFA have become, which is, I know there's been a bit of it in Ireland, but it's so conspicuous here in the US, which is ads during the water breaks for games.
And actually, we discussed this. I was on the Claire Byrne programme yesterday and we discussed this at length because it is being spoken about in Ireland. And I was sitting watching on Thursday night the Mexico-South Africa game and I thought, OK, good atmosphere in this stadium. Not bad football, bit of controversy, three red cards, two goals. Not great football, but, you know, not awful. And then suddenly we had this stoppage 25 minutes in for a water break and then the ads. And I actually left the room and I kind of forgot the game was on. And by the time it came back in, I'd missed 10 minutes. And I thought, there we have it. That's why the commercial aspect and the commercial controversies won't go away for the duration of this World Cup.
Yeah, and even in America here, I have to say, I mean, first of all, it's really conspicuous on Fox, which is showing the majority of the games, I think. And for only the second water break here, they came back after the football has started, which is inevitably going to happen just because of the way these things go. And like, you would serve FIFA right if they missed a goal or something like that. And also, despite, I suppose, an expectation that American audiences would be used to this, given, you know, like sometimes with like basic half-hour TV shows, there's four commercial breaks in that time. There's been real fury about it because I think even before you get to anti-football arguments, which I think it is, there's also about the basic experience where it just takes you out of the game. And this, and like in the second half in particular, given it's 22 minutes in, let's get into the crunch points of a match, especially if it's tight. It takes you out of it and it does change the rhythm of a game as well.
Yeah, it definitely did change the flow, the rhythm, the emotional connection of the game. But the argument being put forward by FIFA is that these players are playing in high temperatures. Some of the matches will be over 30 degrees and there's a player welfare element here. Do you buy that, Miguel?
But that's an evasive argument, though, because, I mean, no one is saying players shouldn't have water breaks. I mean, we had them in like the 2014 World Cup. Louis van Gaal famously used them to make a tactical change and swing a game against Mexico for the Netherlands. It's the fact the breaks themselves are being used for commercials. So if you're watching on TV at home, it takes you out of it. It literally takes you out of it, given, as people are leaving the room, but also just it cuts away from the stadium. If they were standing there for 2 minutes and you were still seeing the live feed, that's different because you're still absorbing the game. There's still discussion going. But if you take it out for, as here in America, yet another ad featuring Christian Pulisic or David Beckham, it's not the feel of a World Cup game. And you'd wonder as well, if you get to the final or the semi-final, these really epic, intense games where you are getting to historic stakes of that, and you're cutting away again for an ad for Lay's crisps or something like that. It's not what this is supposed to feel like.
No, and we're not complete purists, but there was that really uncomfortable moment on Fox where the presenter said, "This hydration break is brought to you by Gatorade," which just, I think, gave real football fans like you and me the absolute ick. I mean, you've written about Trump's relationship with Gianni Infantino. How do you see Trump's influence in this tournament in terms of how it's been organised and how it's being presented?
Look, he kind of weighs over everything because I suppose one erratic decision from Trump could basically cause chaos. Now, from speaking to people around FIFA and all that, they would say chaos has actually been caused by almost a lack of decision from Trump, because FIFA's argument of why Infantino is so craven to him, why he's always at Trump events, why he's in the Oval Office more than any kind of political leader, is basically that because of Trump's personality, he needs to be kind of played to all the time. But despite that, FIFA basically got no concessions out of him. They've got no help on any of the major issues. The biggest, obviously, being Iran, who are facing a disadvantage in how they have to travel for games in this tournament. And most conspicuously, just before the tournament started, the visa issues, especially with the referee Omar Artan. So already, Trump, in this case, his kind of lack or his administration's lack of action or lack of help for FIFA has already caused this chaos they were fearing.
Looking at some of the controversies before the game, the ticket pricing, the use of dynamic pricing, which is being investigated in New York, the accommodation costs, the travel distances between venues, and now, I suppose, the ad breaks during the hydration breaks. Which one of those do you think is most damaging to FIFA and to the game of football?
I mean, I would have been tempted to say the empty seats, just because of the picture that paints, and there's a lot of them from the Korea-Czech game. I suppose the greater frustration there is that we know that had Ireland qualified, those seats would have been filled. I think Ireland would have a decent chance, although Korea were good, to be fair. But I think it already feels this commercial break issue during the hydration breaks is growing and growing. And the fact there's fury about it in America, where FIFA would have presumed that this is just accepted, that feels a little bit of a change. And this comes amid kind of... There's kind of wider dynamics going on here with Infantino and FIFA. Look, one of the reasons FIFA taking these decisions, one of the reasons that Infantino spoke the way he did, in what I thought was such a brazen manner in his pre-World Cup press conference, well, actually it wasn't really a press conference given he barely took any testing questions, I think it's because he's felt so secure in power. And there has been kind of almost a Trump aspect to it, in the way he speaks, the way he rambles, the way he's evidently facing very little resistance. But there is a sense, from speaking to people in football politics, that this is actually starting to change, that a lot of different federations, they're quite uneasy about it. Well, they had been uneasy the way this has been going under Infantino's leadership. And now it's like a lot around the World Cup is pushing this. And I think it could finally bring a challenger.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Do you get the sense that all of these controversies are actually damaging Infantino's chances of being re-elected?
Well, look, the way FIFA politics works is, like, I suppose this is infamous by now, it's one country, one vote, regardless of size. That is kind of further... Or sorry, the purer democratic principles of that are further compromised by the fact that FIFA has this redistribution system where all the money generated from the World Cup, it's spread back around the game through, now it's called the FIFA Forward Programme. And like, so countries like Vanuatu, say, who are often mentioned, example, they might be struggling for, finance. FIFA basically gives them, as part of this redistribution program, gives them a lot that is game changing for the country. And in normal circumstances, this would be quite noble. In these circumstances, it just means this system is basically a vote returning mechanism. It's essentially parish pump politics without usually any opposition candidates, because any opposition candidates know that, well, when the president is already in this position, it's very difficult to fight, because what that has meant is basically Infantino has all of, he has had all of Asia locked off, all of Africa locked off, and other various parts of the world. But that's beginning to fracture now, and specifically with the with his influence in Africa. There is a lot of anger in Africa about his attitude to the Somali referee, Omar Arta, and even the way he spoke about it and the lack of help on it. And that's where suddenly, because with a lot of these situations, because of the way the power works, because you know if you go against a leader who's got such kind of support, that if you challenge him, you can be immediately ostracized. So no one does it in public. That's beginning to change now.
And FIFA talks constantly, don't they, about uniting the world, about this being a global tournament. That's really undermined by those issues with visas.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And look, let's not forget as well, this is the first tournament in history where a host nation has, A, been a conflict with a participating nation, and B, actually launched an act of aggression at them, which is obviously the US and Iran. And I mean, there hasn't felt much unity in that regard. And look, and the other dynamic, of course, with the visa issues is that every single country, or all of the cases so far, are examples of where there's been either denials of visas or kind of greater stress at the point of entry, like the Senegalese team kind of having these humiliating tarmac searches. They've all been to Muslim countries. And of course, like one of Trump's executive orders was colloquially known as the Muslim ban. And yet FIFA would have had foreknowledge of so much of this. And that's where kind of the long-standing relationship with Trump is supposed to come in, that these partnerships actually kind of smooth these situations. But it hasn't happened, and it hasn't promoted any kind of unity.
Okay, very briefly, despite all of the concerns, you have written the ball never stains. Have you confidence that the football itself will ultimately transcend the politics and the commercialism surrounding it?
Well, it always does. I mean, look at Qatar. Qatar was the most controversial World Cup in history. Actually, the World Cup, I'd say, with the most moral issues in history, given it couldn't be staged without what human rights groups would call slave labour. And yet, what people actually remember in the course of time is Messi winning it, that final, and all the storylines around it. The same will happen here, but it doesn't mean there isn't another side to the World Cup that we should be considering.
And keep in mind when we're watching. All right, Miguel Delaney, thank you so much for speaking to us here on the Pat Kenny Show.
Thank you.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Timber Living Log Cabins.